The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You've heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord on all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus says, do not swear at all. Let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. Now, those are some really strong words. So I think it's very important that we understand what that means. And here's how we're going to do it. First, we're going to understand the context of what Jesus means when he speaks these words. And secondly, we're going to understand why they're so important. So, first, the context. When Jesus says, do not swear at all, he isn't referring to using four-letter words or taking God's name in vain. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying Jesus is giving his blessing to saying four-letter words and taking God's name in vain. It's just that within the context of this gospel, that's not what swear means. Jesus also is not referring to the swearing of a public oath, which was just as prominent as important in Jesus' time as it is in our own time. I hope you know, a public oath is very important for the public good. And just like in Jesus' time, this was something that was done by office holders and judges and soldiers, and even by doctors. That's not what Jesus is referring to when he says, don't swear at all. He's actually referring to one thing, and I really think the context is important here. Something which was far more common in Jesus' time than it is in our own time, and that is the swearing of a private oath. Let me give you some examples of private oaths sworn in the scriptures, examples that you already know. Okay, you ready? You remember the story of the beheading of John the Baptist? All you daily massers who have heard the daily reading so many, many times, I'm trusting you already know the story of the beheading of John the Baptist, where it was a birthday celebration. And the daughter of Herodias performed a dance which delighted the crowd and delighted King Herod, so much so that what did Herod do? He swore an oath. He swore, I will give you anything you ask for, even up to half my kingdom. That's an example of a private oath. Common in Jesus' time, not quite as common in our own. You remember the story of the very first Holy Thursday night, where St. Peter was in the courtyard of the high priest, warming his hands by a charcoal fire. And one by one, people walked over to St. Peter and they said, I know who you are. You're one of that man's disciples, aren't you? And Peter said, no, not me. Someone else says, this man was definitely with Jesus. Even his accent gives him away. Peter said, no, not me. And lastly, someone said, this man was definitely with him. I saw this man with Jesus. And the Gospel of Matthew says that Peter swore an oath. He did not know who Jesus was. Those are examples of private oaths sworn in the scriptures, common in our Lord's time, not quite as common in our own. And the point Jesus actually makes here in this gospel is very simple. The point is this. In all that you do and speak, have integrity. You shouldn't need to swear an oath, because your words should have enough integrity that people know that when you speak the truth. Adding an oath to that only weakens what your word should already be. But you know what the importance of integrity is? This is what I'd like to focus on here this morning. Let me tell you why integrity is so important and why its opposite, disintegrity, is in fact what comes from the evil one. Now, to make that point, I got to make a point about moral theology first. And that is that every moral choice you make is self-constituting. For example, let's pretend like you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice as to whether you're going to tell the truth even though it hurts or tell a lie to save your own behind. It's a moral choice. The choice you make forms you. It's self-constituting. It forms you as a human being, such that if I choose the truth in that hard circumstance, I'm changed on the inside. I actually become more truthful after making that choice than I was before I made it. I get changed on the inside. And by contrast, if I give in to the temptation and I tell a lie, it changes me on the inside. I become less truthful. It breaks me a little bit more on the inside. Your moral choices are self-constituting. Now, just as an aside, this is why it's so important that we don't try to bless people's sin in the name of love. You've heard this. It's very common in our own time. Maybe two people are just living together. They're not married. And they guilt trip their relatives and friends. If you loved me, you would tell me that what I'm doing is just fine. And you're tempted to say, well, I don't want to feel bad. And everyone knows that love is nothing more than feelings. So, sure, I give my blessing to what you're doing. Don't ever do that. Because when you bless someone's sin, you're actually blessing what tears them apart. You know, the word integrity comes from the Latin word integer. It means whole and unbroken. When I trust God and trust His commandments and live my life by them, do you know I get changed on the inside? I become who God made me to be. St. Irenaeus once famously said, the glory of God is man fully alive. In other words, one who's become who God truly made him to be gives glory to God in the goodness of his being. But the opposite of that is disintegrity. And you can see why it's from the evil one. Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that when we choose what's wrong, we become not who God made us to be. We become a creature of our own making. Disintegrity. If integrity means whole and unbroken, by disintegrity we break ourselves. And we become something that's fractional, not something that God created. I hope everybody here knows that the demons in hell used to be angels. You know that, right? They once were angels, but they fell. Are they angels now? They are not. It's a chilling thought when you realize that the souls of the damned used to be men. They're really not anymore. But by one disintegral choice after another, they've become a creature of their own making. That's why disintegrity is from the evil one. That's why Jesus says, have integrity. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. You know our very, very best example of this for all of us to follow? It's our own Blessed Mother. When she said yes to the angel, let it be done unto me according to your word, she meant it, right down to the very marrow of her bones. And by her prayers, may we do the same as we ask for her prayers today. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us.